Well, praise the Lord, church. It is good to be found in the house of God once again. Oh, and I want to thank everybody who came to my birthday party last week. It was truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. I try to feel how it beats to be 70 years old, but I don't know. I don't feel any different. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, humbly we come before you and we give you thanks for this beautiful day that you've given us and this opportunity to come together in fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you bestow upon us each and every day, continuing to be with us and guide us throughout our lives. Lord, as we come forward today with the word, we ask that the words that come from my mouth be your words and not mine. Use me, Lord, as your servant today as we study and learn to be better servants for you each and every day. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, we just finished celebrating the Easter holiday a couple of weeks ago, which is the one of the two most life-changing events for mankind that ever occurred in history. Jesus' birth and his death. Okay. And, you know, we go through the whole thing. You know, we go to church and we, you know, praise the Lord that he's risen, he's risen, he's risen. We're so thankful that he's risen. But what happens after that? What do we do after that? Instead of just getting ready for Christmas, we have a job to do. And Jesus, he explained some of this to his disciples by meeting with them after he was risen. Okay, now we all know that, you know, the ladies were the first ones at the tomb to see that the tomb was empty. But here's a trivia question for you. Who were the only people who actually witnessed the resurrection? The guards. Because Mary and them weren't there. They didn't come until afterwards. The guards, two Gentiles, or three Gentiles, however many guards they had of Gentiles, actually witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. They were there. When the stone got rolled away, when Jesus exited the tomb. Now the stone, remember, didn't get rolled away so that Jesus could get out. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away. The stone got rolled away so that we could get in. Because remember, that was one big stone. It weighed over a ton, and you know, nobody could roll that thing back over there by themselves. So the earthquake came and the hand of the Lord moved rolled the stone away so that the people could get in and see that it was true, that Jesus was actually risen. Okay. So now, as we talk about this, you know, and we think about what goes on, we're going to study in the book of Luke, the last chapter in the book of Luke, in the last few verses, if you want to start turning there now. We're going to pick up the story right after Jesus spoke to the two men on the road to Emmaus. So we're in Luke chapter 24, and the story about the road to Emmaus is before that, but we're going to pick up the study at verse 36 of chapter 24. Okay, verse 36, chapter 24, Luke 24:36. Everybody turn over there. When you say there, you get say amen. Yeah, right. All right, so I'm going to read the first, and we're going to read all the way to the end of the chapter. And then, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And when he had done thus spoken, he showed him his hands and his feet. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.
And open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead on the third day.
And the remission of sins, he is preached in his name among all nations, beginning
And ye are witnesses of these things.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high.
And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them.
And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven.
And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Amen, amen. So, the two men on the road to Emmaus go back and they tell the disciples, hey, we've been talking to Jesus. And of course, they're kind of iffy about the whole thing because, I mean, you know, they heard the stories and stuff like that, but nobody really knew or understood until Jesus started making appearances. And he made a lot of appearances, but one of the most notable ones is this one right here we're going to talk about, where he actually came to the disciples right after the resurrection. And it says, and so they're in the upper room now, and they're talking, you know, they're at the where they were all gathered together, and they're just talking story, trying to figure out what's going on, and Jesus appears in the room. Now, you have to remember, at this time, the disciples were being very cautious about who they talked to, because the Romans had spread this rumor that they had stolen Jesus' body in the night, and so, I mean, there were prices on their heads. These men were, you know, afraid, because if they went outside they might be arrested, because, you know, the story is that they stole the body to try to make the prophecies come true. Because no matter what Jesus taught them, no matter how hard he tried to convince them, when it happened they still weren't sure. They still doubted. They still had it in their mind that something different was supposed to happen, something else was supposed to happen with Jesus when he came to the earth. But here they are, locked in this room, trying to protect themselves, and another man appears in the room. Jesus didn't have to come through the door. He appears in the room and he says, "Peace be with you," which is a common phrase at that time, you know, to greet each other. "Peace be with you," which was probably a big shock to everybody sitting in the room. They're saying, "Who? Where did this happen?" But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Naturally. I mean, they all saw Jesus on the cross. They saw what was done to him. They saw him die when he gave up the ghost. When he gave up the ghost and pronounced that he was going, they saw all this happen. And now he's standing there in front of them. Boy, if this is a ghost story, everybody's going to believe it. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? How come you don't know? How come you weren't paying attention when I was alive? What are you afraid of? It's me." He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." Jesus rose from the death as a person, not as a ghost, but as a person, as a live person. Just as he called Lazarus from the grave when Lazarus died, he came out of the grave a real person. Lazarus was not a ghost. When Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected as a real person, not as a ghost. So, for them to touch and feel him and know that he was real, and this is, some of us may have a hard time getting our heads around this, but Jesus is real. And you know, non-believers have a really hard time with this, knowing that Jesus is real. But Jesus, he came to his disciples and said, "Look, touch me, feel me, look at me. I'm real. I'm not a ghost." And when he had spoken thus, he showed them his hands and his feet. Look at the wounds. And while they were while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, and said to him, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" He was hungry. Okay? Ghosts aren't hungry. But Jesus was hungry. He wanted something to eat. He asked them for something to eat. He wanted to eat something with them. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So they saw him. He was real. They touched him. He was flesh and blood. He ate with them. People eat. Ghosts don't eat. So he was real. He was really real. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Okay, this is what I told you guys before, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, if we take a look back in the Old Testament through Isaiah, through some of the stuff in the laws of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, if we take a look at some of the Psalms, the way the Psalms are written, the stuff that David wrote, a lot of them reference Jesus Christ, his life, his crucifixion, and his rising again. All of this stuff was written years and years before, hundreds of years before. In fact, when Isaiah was describing the crucifixion, the Romans weren't even using it yet. They hadn't come up with that form of punishment. That didn't happen until later. But Jesus said, remember the Old Testament, remember the stories, look back, read about it. I told you these things when I was with you. That's why I spent so much time teaching you, because I wanted you to know and wanted you to understand. And Jesus was reminding them that. He said these things had to be fulfilled. And then, in verse 45 it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Okay. A lot of times, people read something and they don't understand it. It's just words. That's why it's important a lot of times. If you have questions, it's important to ask. You know, while we read, the things that we read, it becomes important for us to say, hey, you know, do I really know what I'm reading here? You know, do I have any questions about what I'm reading? That's why it's kind of important to attend church. Because you can sit at home and you can read the scriptures, and a lot of times you can think to yourself, well, I don't know sure what this means. I mean, read something else and you turn the page because it's too hard to understand what they were talking about. But if you attend church, if in that church they teach the Bible, if in that study they go verse by verse in the Bible like we do here in this church, then you get to understand what the Bible is actually saying. And it becomes important. And when you understand it, then lights start to go on and you can share. Because remember, our job is to share. Our job is not to just sit on this knowledge and to keep it to ourselves and not let anybody else know. This is the good news. This is important for other people to know and to understand that Jesus Christ is real. And that we must have a relationship with him so that when our time comes, we're going to spend it in heaven. That is so critical. We have to get people to understand it. People just think, Bible's just a bunch of stories, you know, written by men. They always leave out the part that they were inspired by God to read. Okay, the men didn't just sit down one day and, you know, start to write, and somebody found all these writings and put them all together and say, this would make a good book, you know, and put it all together into the Bible. These men were inspired by God to write what they wrote. The stuff that Moses wrote, he was told by Moses what to write. The stuff that John writes in Revelation, he was told by God to write what he told him to write. So all this stuff is true. Verse 46 says, and then he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus' mission in life, the whole purpose of him being born was to die on that cross. People don't get that. Okay? The Jews thought the Messiah was going to come and take them out of captivity and establish a kingdom on earth. But that wasn't big enough for God. Remember, God is not just concerned with one little group of people. God is concerned with everybody. So it becomes important that we understand that the Jews had too small a picture. Christ was here for something bigger. And that's why the prophecies said that he came and that he was born, but they forget to make how important it was that his whole purpose in life was to die on the cross. He was the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice for man's sin. We all sin. Everybody before Jesus sinned. Everybody after Jesus sinned. Jesus, the only man in the history of men who was sinless. Animals could no longer fulfill the sacrifices necessary for man to be forgiven and to man to be righteous. They'd killed all these animals, all these lambs and sheep and doves and rams and everything else. They're always killing animals. But they were only a token. And even the priests knew that it was just a token. Okay, because the way they described the sacrifice, they say, well, this is just a token for you. But man himself had to be forgiven. Jesus Christ was the only person who was able to provide the sacrifice necessary to forgive us of our sins, to forgive man of his sins. It had to be a man. But Jesus was born, he lived, he taught, he went to the cross, and he gave his life for us. Everybody says, well, you know, the Romans killed him, or the Jews killed him, or somebody killed him. No, Jesus was not killed. He was made to suffer, and he was tortured, but he was not killed. Because remember what the last words out of his mouth were? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So, Father, I'm ready to go. Take me now. He gave up the ghost. He didn't die because of his injuries. He didn't die because of the spear in his side. He didn't die because he hung there. He gave up his spirit. He sacrificed, because that was his job. When he was in the garden before the crucifixion, he asked God, he says, you know what? I know this is my job, but if there's any other way, please let me know. And there wasn't. He had to go to the cross. That was his purpose. And so when he went, when he made that sacrifice for us, that's how you and I are forgiven today. And that's why it's so important that we ask. And when we pray and we ask God for forgiveness, it's important that we know that that was laid out for us already. Our sins are forgiven. When we ask, we're forgiven. The hardest thing that we have to do is to forgive ourselves. That's why so many of us carry around burdens for so long, carry around weight in our minds and stuff like that. Because even though we've asked for forgiveness, we don't think we're forgiven. Jesus forgives. We have to forgive ourselves. Once we forgive ourselves, our lives, the weight can be taken off of us and we can live better lives. We can be better witnesses. We can explain more what it feels like to have Jesus in our lives because we've let it go. We've answered the call. We've told Jesus, okay, this is my sin. I'm sorry for it. You know, take it from me. And he does. And now we can forgive ourselves and say, oh, look, I feel so much lighter. Jesus forgave me of my sin. And I feel so much better. And I can share that with you because I have so much joy now and so much happiness in my life because I know that I'm forgiven. And verse 47 says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. That's what we need to be telling people. Repentance and remission of sins. Repentance for asking for forgiveness, turning around our lives, living a different way. And the remission of sins, that's the forgiveness. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's given us the fact that our sins are forgiven, the remission of sins. I like verse 48. Jesus stands there and says, "And ye are witnesses of these things." In law enforcement, all the time I spend as a policeman, when we go to a crime scene, we go to a case, we go to a traffic accident, we like to have witnesses. Witnesses who actually saw what happened. Okay? Because you get a better story from the guys who were there and tell the story firsthand. Okay? Everything is more accurate. Now, not everybody may say exactly the same thing because people see things in different ways. People key into different things in different ways. They don't all see the same thing at the same time. Some people find one thing more important than someone else does. But if you talk to enough people, put all the pieces together, you get a really good picture. And that's why when people argue with you about the Bible, say, "Oh, the Gospels contradict each other." They don't. They're written by four different men who had four different perspectives on what actually happened. And so what you need to do, and these guys, as it says right here, were witnesses. They were eyewitnesses. They were there. They saw it happen. They were present when Jesus was on the cross, when he gave up the ghost. They were in the room when Jesus appeared and said, "Touch me, feel me, see me, hear me speak." And they touched him. Nothing is better than an eyewitness description of what happened. And we have it in God's Word, in the Bible. We have that eyewitness description of what happened. That's what makes it so believable. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until he endueth power from on high." Something else is coming. What's coming? Anybody know? Spirit. Holy Spirit, right? They're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We'll talk about that in the next message. But right now, Jesus is getting them ready. He says, "Hey, you guys know. You guys saw. You can go out there and you can share this information with, and don't be afraid to share it." Okay? Don't be afraid to share it. They can't arrest you until they have proof that you stole the body. They can't make it up. They can't just produce a body somewhere and say, "Hey, this was Jesus." Never fly. Because you all know. You saw. I've been with you. You know that I'm alive. And we know from the historical record that the guards were paid. Okay, now, I don't know if you remember this, but the guards were paid to say that they fell asleep and that the disciples came in the middle of the night and stole the body. You know what the penalty is for sleeping on guard duty? Yeah? Especially in a time of war or discontent? Yeah, I mean, they hang you. Okay? The army still does that today. Okay? Sleeping on guard duty, that's a serious offense. Okay? So that meant death to these guys. And yet, they were told, "Tell everybody you fell asleep." And they gave him big bucks. They gave him lots of money to say that. And that was the story that they told. But Jesus told him, he says, "Don't worry about it. Spread this word. Don't go out right now because you guys aren't ready yet. Let the Father give you the Holy Spirit first and then go out." Okay. "And he then led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed him, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." So they saw him actually leave the earth. He was here. He died. He came back to life. And then he went to heaven. He was lifted up into heaven by God. And the witnesses, the eyewitnesses, the people who were actually there, wrote it down for us to study and to learn and to remember and to know that it's the truth. Okay? The Bible, for those who don't believe in the Bible, is just a collection of stories. They fail to see the historical truth that exists in the Bible, and it can be backed up. They can go back through the Roman records and they can find out a lot of the stuff that talk about Jesus is actually true, because the Romans kept records too. And everywhere they dig a hole in the ground right now to try to find out what things are happening, they're finding proof that these things actually happened, that these people actually existed. They've actually found Pilate's name on documents that they dug up in the ruins around Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem. So there really was a guy named Pilate, and he really was in Jerusalem. So all of this stuff is happening historically. And it's our job to pass this word on, to let other people know. Because people have doubts, and people aren't sure, and people keep thinking, well, I don't know, you know, if this is true or not, you know, I'm not sure what we could. Read the Bible. Read it. I've got a book at home that I picked up, and it talks about, it was written by a guy who was an atheist, and he set out to prove the Bible was wrong. And the more he read the Bible, the more he studied, and the more he looked up the references, the more he found out the Bible was right. And this happens all the time. All these people who spend time trying to shoot the Bible down become believers because they can't do it, because it's true. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And that's what we need to do. We need to always praise God. We need to always bless God for the things that we have, give thanks all the time. And that's what we need to show other people. You know, I read a thing once that said, you know, preach the gospel daily. When necessary, use the Bible. Okay. How do we preach the gospel daily? By the way we live our lives. We know the truth. We're learning the truth each and every day, every time we study, every time we open up God's Word and we read. We learn more and more and more and more and more about the truth. And nothing is easier to tell than the truth, because the truth supports itself. Lies have to keep getting backed up by more lies. And next thing you know, you're in a heap of trouble because you can't figure out anymore. Did I tell this lie before? You know, is this going to be... What? Where am I going? You know, can I? Yeah. But the truth is it. Can't change the truth. It stays there for you all the time. So I hope that today's lesson has inspired each and every one of us to be more fruitful in our discussions of our faith with other people, and to let other people know that this is the truth. We learn it each and every day, and we become more and more excited about it because it's the truth, and we know it. And as the times are getting toward the end, and the end is near, the end times are right around the corner. They're closer than any of us can think or can imagine. And we don't know if it's going to be today or next week or maybe in 100 years, but it's coming. The Lord is waiting for something. When that last thing falls into place, it's going to happen. It's going to happen so fast, we're not even going to recognize it. It's going to happen so fast that our heads are going to spin. So let's pray now. Dear Lord, humbly we come before you, and we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that we get a chance to study it, and we can learn about it, and we can believe it and understand it. And as we see the truth that comes forward in it, because we know we're reading eyewitness accounts of people who are actually there, and the things that were inspired by God to be put down on paper for us to study later. And we just thank you, Lord, that as the word speaks to each and every one of us as we read it, it just comes so alive and so believable and so understandable. And as we apply it to our lives, Lord, we just thank you for making it possible. And we want to thank you for the men and women who are far away in harm's way, you know, protecting our rights and our freedom. And for Oni, who just graduated from Navy basic training, and he's going to be one of those people who are out there protecting our rights, Lord. We just want to have blessings upon him and throughout his career, Lord. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon each and every one of you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.